Come to order. I'm the Vice Chair of the Utah Board of Accountancy. I'd like to call this meeting of the Utah Board of Accountancy to order. It is now 1:35 on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. This meeting is being held in room 402 of the Heber Wells Building in Salt Lake City, Utah. Notice this meeting was provided as required under Utah's open meeting laws. In compliance with Utah's open meeting laws, the meeting is being recorded in its entirety. The recording will be posted on the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days following the meeting. In compliance with Utah's open meeting laws, written minutes will also be prepared at this meeting. Appropriately marked pending approval minutes will be available to the public no later than 30 days after the close of the meeting. Approved minutes will be posted at Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days after approval. The following board members are in attendance. Bob Fuhr, Carrie Woolsey, and Mike Gregory. The following board members are absent, Wade Watkins and Tim Larson. The following individuals representing Doppel and the Department of Commerce are in attendance, Dan Jones, Ann Nagland, and Nina Bowen.
And Pamela Bennett is our investigator.
Pamela Bennett. We welcome any visitors and interested persons at this time. Please be sure to sign the attendance report and for the meeting and identify yourself before speaking. As a courtesy to everyone participating in the meeting at this time, we ask for all cell phones, pagers, and other electronic devices to be turned off and changed to silent mode. Board motions and vote will be recorded in the minutes. Let us now proceed with the agenda. First item on the agenda, administrative business. Hopefully you've all seen the per diem, you've all signed it, you've been here. Let's move on to the approval of board minutes from October 7th, 2015 meeting. I have one question on the second page, and maybe I just don't understand the terminology. But
it's a good question.
CPA ethics, it said, and require 1 hour of CPA and Utah law and rules and 3 hours of CPE on CPA.
Should be on ethics.
On ethics?
Yeah.
It didn't. Are there any other comments?
Everything else looked good to me. I move that we accept the board minutes as amended.
And I would second that.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are approved. Compliance report.
Okay.
Bowen.
All 8 of the probationers are compliant. Quarterly reports were due by January 1st, and I have received all of the report, any and all reports that were required from the individuals. I have just one, Mr. Johnson, Jeffrey Johnson. He has actually changed firms where he is working. He is now working at Stainer, Bates, and Jensen. We have to bring that to the board. Just to verify, I'm not sure if any
did he
of you
have
are
someone
familiar was, with.
Did he have someone in particular assigned to be over?
He's actually got Neil Hampson or Rebecca Schreier. He's working with
the new
previously?
Firm.
No, to sign now for his reports. Did he previously? Yes, he did.
And who was it before?
That was. Brent Danes.
Ed Danes Rasmussen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he was working before?
That's where he was previously working, yes. And he's been there for quite a while, but he has switched.
He fully disclosed the circumstances of his promotion?
Yes. And there's a report that he has to have them fill out stating that they have read his order while he's on probation with us, and then they have to return that to me.
Okay.
But we'd like to bring it to the board first to clarify where he's at now in his probation and to make sure that that's going to be approved through the board.
If you're aware of who those people are, you can approve it.
I know Rebecca, yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, we could ask for resumes, but if you know who they are and they're good, we can approve them.
Okay.
Nina, you see... Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm good.
I'm just saying, Nina, do you see any problem in the transfer?
Oh, no.
Transfer at all?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Okay. Great.
Okay.
I will let him know.
Okay. Any other questions for Nina? Great.
Good job, Nina. Are we making it easy enough for you?
You guys are great. I was just saying, you guys are great.
Do you want some more business, or you're okay?
No, I have enough.
Okay. We can sort of add plumbers maybe to the...
I have plumbers.
So.
You do have plumbers?
I have plumbers and electricians and contractors.
Hey.
They keep me plenty busy. So this group's really great.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the hearing, which has already been completed. And we're actually running 5 minutes ahead for our appointments. I'm assuming you, Mr. Larson?
Yes.
Great. Do you mind going early? 5 minutes early, we're ready to go. Unless you're waiting for someone. You're waiting for an attorney or someone to assist you?
No, I don't deal with attorneys.
Okay. Perfect. Come up and sit at the table and we'll go through this.
Well, the AICPA, in their infinite wisdom, like you hear on the radio, feed the pig, they have that as their commercial. They put out SARS 21, which changed sort of the format of accounting. We used to have the three levels that easy. We do compliance reports, review reports, or audit reports. Now they added a fourth level, preparation, where you can do just prepare financial statements. You don't have to put a letter on it or anything about it. You got to do certain compliance things with it. But a small firm that only does preparation doesn't have to have peer review. But under the state law, to get your CPA license, you have to have a peer review. So I was just bringing that to your attention. Does the state board want to change the requirements for the license on peer and licensing and peer review? This to make you aware that that change went into effect on December 15th, 2015, changed the language of compilation reports and other things, but that was the part that I wanted to bring to you. My suggestion is I think Utah needs to coordinate with other states and see what they're going to do with it, because I'd hate to see Utah change their rule and none of the other states that require peer reviews for licensing change the rule.
Have we heard anything from NASPA on this topic?
Not that I know.
That's why I wrote the letter to you people, this making you aware of this change. And that, so we could deal with it. Because I do a whole lot of peer reviews of the real small firms.
People that would do this kind of preparation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they don't do any audits, but I can do the engagement reviews. And about a third or more don't belong to the Utah Association of CPAs or any other association. So they never have any idea what the rules are to start with. And so my job is to train them.
Hence the previous.
And bring it up and on, and I get that all the time. So I just thought I'd bring this to your attention of this change in the AICPA rule and see how it's going to affect the licensing for the state of Utah.
When did the SARS 21 change become effective?
December 15th, 2015.
Just a month ago.
A month ago.
Yeah.
So,
are you aware of it? Here's a little article out of the Journal of Accountancy that sort of talks about that. in that, but then the other question, I've been in contact with the state of Nevada's division on peer reviews. Okay, if they back out, what do they have to do? Then they have to disenroll from Nevada. They can't just automatically say we're out.
Have you had a response from Nevada on that?
They're thinking about it. I know they're aware of it. They're the one that brought to my attention, when I talked to some of the head people down there that I know personally, there's a lot of states that don't want this rule to go in to eliminate peer review because there's a lot of technical requirements that if you do a preparation report, you still got to put certain disclosures on the report, and they just want them to be in compliance to keep the profession up.
Do you have an opinion yourself, Mr. Larson?
I think it is good to have the requirement stay as a licensing things, because with my peer reviews, it's, a lot of it is training people and bringing them up to speed, because they're not required to be an association. They don't take the Journal of Accountancy. They don't read different things. So they have no idea. This SARS 21, there's probably a third of the CPAs in the state that have never heard of it. And it changed the report and everything.
Let me ask, how often do you do the peer reviews required?
Every 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
But if you take the lower echelon out of peer review, I think the profession's going to go downhill.
Susan, any noise on this?
A little bit. I mean, we're hearing a little bit of noise from our members, and it is to what Ralph's saying. And we know this every once in a while. We get calls from people that are not members of our association or the AICPA, and they are completely clueless on this SARS 21 requirement. And it is damaging. I mean, it's one of the reasons we have the association, to train them and to make sure that they know about this. But if they're on their own and they're not a member of AICPA or UACPA, they're probably breaking a lot of rules.
And when they come in to have their CPA license renewed, is that when we would have come up?
We have questions on the renewal where they verify that they have a peer review program in place if they're required to.
Right. Uh-huh. I would bet you, based on some of the conversations I've had, they probably will mark that box or not. I think they would probably mark it that they've had their peer reviews or whatever, regardless of whether they're, I mean, even if they are not a member of our association or the AICPA, because they fly under the radar. And with kind of to what Ralph's talking about with peer review in general and what we've seen with the Department of Labor, it's a lot of those firms that have caused the stink with the peer review and not living up to the standards.
So, Bob, I'm just going to make a comment.
One more question. When they check that box, do we ask for any documentation from them of their last
documentation? We do not. Actually, they're able to renew online, but there's actually two boxes that they're asked. First, do you prepare audits, reviews, or compilations? And if they answer yes, then the follow-up question is, have you done your peer review? And if they answer no, then it holds up the renewal because they're required if they do the audit, compilation, or review. So they'd have to make a misrepresentation on two questions.
That says preparation on it.
Yeah.
That next
lower level.
Right.
It's just SARS 21.
Mm-hmm.
So preparation of
The fourth category, yeah.
Which is
so you're preparing financial statements that are not compilations?
Right.
Yeah, because that's what this new standard sort of allows that.
Okay.
So that's sort of what's at issue. And I was just going to say, Bob, I think this is a meritorious question that probably would warrant a little bit of review by
a little research
in our committee, reaching out to NASPA, finding out what other people are thinking. There is kind of a gaping hole for people that are doing the preparation level stuff, because they are the people that aren't members of the association and who have little connection. They're the people that we're talking about in these ethics problems that we've had. It's that same sort of group of really small firms.
The preparation goes, when you just try to define preparation, as an accountant or a bookkeeper, you can go in and put some journal entries and correct certain things in their accounting system, and then the bookkeeper presses the button on the computer and it prints the financial statement. Who prepared them? Not the CPA. The computer did. So, but that's just things that come up in there, and
that's what
defining
defining that new level of service.
I mean, preparation. You can prepare if that's all the client wants from you. You got to have an engagement where, yes, I'll prepare it, but I won't do a compilation review, and I'm not going to put a report on it. Personally, I like the report because it has my name on it. But that's this fourth level, and it brings up this interesting thing. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. So
appreciate it.
We'd handle it properly, and I think if you have you're talking about an association, coordinate with other states and see. And is there another association for the UACPA with nationally?
We coordinate with the ICPA. So I know that our language isn't in conflict with any of the other states, but let me talk to my associate with AICPA. They'll recommend some rewords on our rules.
Would you then forward whatever you get back to?
Dan, but I also wonder, would a parallel tack Dan to check with NASPA on what they're doing, the coordination?
I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
I appreciate it. I see the new rule and the conflict that brings up, but and potential problems with, like you say, these small companies are flying below the radar and they don't know the requirement. And if something was holding up my electronic renewal with a no, and I tried it with a yes, and I went through,
Yeah, I wondered, even as I was turning my CPE at the 11th hour the other day.
On January 31st?
Kind of like everyone else. But, it's interesting to bring that up, because it kind of crossed my mind with this. Because I did expect the question, do you prepare financial statements, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder if there ought to be something where they have to attach their peer review opinion or something, just as that extra backup.
Well, that's what I was wondering, Susan, and I originally asked Dan, is that, when they check that box, we should see if there should be some documentation in the file.
Yeah.
In the past, the state has never asked for that. When the state did the peer review before they transferred Nevada to help and that, they just throw the reports on the floor, didn't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been around for 2 weeks.
Dan, so we used to do audits of the individuals when they submit their CPE reports. Do we still do that?
Mm-hmm.
We still select something. Do we do that for the firms? Do we audit
we could.
The application?
Well, we don't, but we could.
Let me ask you a question, because I've had questions in my office, even firms trying to get around the SARS-21. It's just a reality. And it's made me ponder, I don't know if we have a big old monster here in SARS-21 or not, but kind of skirting, well, if we can manipulate how this engagement looks this way, then it's under SARS 21. Don't have to worry about peer review, but if we keep it over on this column, then it hits the peer review column, you know.
Well, and as I spent a little bit of time, I went to the AACP's website and looked at kind of the peer review. Basically, as I read through that, everybody would be subject to peer review unless the financial statements were only going to be used by the owner manager kind of person. If they've got any external view, so banks or what have you,
IRS.
So, I mean, okay. Yeah. Any time that it touches the public, that was their kind of view.
Well, that's their view, but the reality is, you can say that, but I can guarantee you when I was in the process, they get distributed.
Yeah, and so that, from my perception, knowing that, then that just subjects us as accountants to really a whole lot of public criticism, potentially.
The preparation engagement is not limited. It did away with the management use only thing. But they can distribute, the company can distribute to the public or anybody they want to. It's not restricted.
Yeah, and that's where it gets a little bit interesting, because the engagement letter should specifically identify if I, in good conscience, have an owner manager sign and say, yeah, this is for my use only, and he chooses to take it beyond them, then that's where it gets really interesting, because as an accountant, we've held ourselves out, perhaps, even though we had specifically said, no, that's not how it's to be treated. And that's where it does get.
But SAS 21 eliminated the management use only report.
So you don't even have an opinion, which...
No.
That's what's been... That's troubling to me. I understand why they... Well, I can see why they did SARS 21. Having been in that public practice scenario, but I have wondered if perhaps it's opened up a can of worms for us from a liability standpoint.
Well, I think it's something we should probably look at and reach out to our
peers.
Yeah,
I got another suggestion on it. If the rule changes if the UACPA puts out an announcement, or you put an announcement in the paper, the rules have changed or haven't changed, I think you need, from this department, to send a letter to everyone with a license so they get it, other than having to go with the external thing and look at it.
How many registered CPAs do we have in the state?
Ballpark.
5,000. Okay. Let me ask you another question. These smaller companies you're concerned about that are flying under the radar, what other forms of inspection or review or lack of or whatever do they have in their operation?
Besides the peer review program,
nothing. So, I don't think so.
So they would go through the whole whatever the extent of their license, renew their license and keep going and until something blows up and we read about it in the paper.
See, a peer review is a minimum, if they do a minimum, of two engagements. Look at every 3 years. Unless they do a series of different types of engagements, and you got to do one of each one and different things. But a minimum, just look at two. And a lot of them, that's all. They might do one. Then it might be a housewife doing one a year. And you just look at in the peer review year, not the 3 year thing. But so it's, but I do peer reviews, one, to help me stay current, and two, to train people. I don't do it as an Army inspector.
Mr. Larson, I actually can understand the value to the CPA of having an outside eyes look at it and making sure they're up to date on what they're doing.
Sure.
So I see a real benefit to that.
And a benefit to the public. Anyway, that's the reason I wrote you the letter, and that's wrote a letter to Nevada asking them how they was going to do it, and they're up to us, but... Yeah, but...
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion.
Oh, Dan. Well, I have a question. On our rule right now, it says peer review shall be conducted in accordance with the standards for performing and reporting on peer reviews promulgated by the AICPA effective January 1, 2009 as amended. So does that need to be updated to this SARS 21 or...
I'm betting, not sure because we need to research this, but I'm betting that SARS 1 hasn't caught up with the AICPA professional conduct code yet.
Okay.
So it's not incorporated there. So if it does get incorporated, then we would be covered by...
But the date of that publication may need to be updated.
Yeah.
Since 2009.
Yes. You've got a renewal requirement in your rule 156, blah, 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 that says there is created a peer review requirement as a condition for renewal of licenses issued under the Certified Public Accountant Licensing Act.
Right.
It doesn't... This says you're going to have a peer review, period.
It's conditioned upon compliance with this section. So if this section says you don't need it because you're not doing them, then there's a requirement, but you're exempt from the requirement because you're not subject to it. So it's not just blanket, everybody has a peer review because...
Well, I'm just reading this renewal requirement.
Yeah.
Some copy of the letter I sent you before.
So how we've interpreted that is if you're not doing financial statements, you don't need a peer review because you're in compliance with what the requirement is. So somebody needs to be assigned to research whether we need to update that language or not.
Right.
And
so let me just first make
please
a little motion that we study the implications of SARS 21 on our current licensing and peer review requirements, and reach out to our constituents and partners and see what other states are doing.
Agreed. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. I agree. We'll look forward to reporting the next meeting.
So we probably should assign someone to sort of point
them. Since
Tim Larson's not here, I'd volunteer. I will dig into that a little bit.
Well, you appreciate it. And Susan, you look at it and...
You look at it from the ICPA standpoint.
Right, yeah.
Dan, do you want to reach out to NASBA and see if they have an opinion or have we already covered the bases?
I think that's going to cover it.
Okay.
NASBA's more than licensing requirements. I'm not sure they're up on the peer review standards other than it's a requirement. So I don't think they would have necessarily input, but I'll check with them.
They might have some noise amongst the delegates there.
I haven't seen any emails exchanged on that point, so but it doesn't mean it won't come up soon.
A lot of emails. I can't pay attention to all that.
No,
something just to keep in mind, and Ralph, you're probably in tune with this too, is AICPA is restructuring even the whole peer review model.
Oh, okay.
So as long as I'm doing my little due diligence, I'll just have them say, you know, if we need to make changes in our rules and whatever, let's get on it now.
Yeah, let's do the combined.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's coordinate together.
All right.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing this up. It's very, very important, very timely. Dan, does that cover the next item, the discussion topics, which is, I think...
Yeah, that is the rule that corresponds with
very good.
With that. So we figured we'd put that on the agenda in case you needed to make some updates there or not. So it looks like we're going to...
Is there any other new business? Any new business? Yes, Susan.
You know me. I always have to have something. So I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we need to review our attestation statute.
Our what?
So you know that we can really, as licensees, I mean, we We provide attest or audit services to clients. And from the AIC, you know, we've been working with the AICPA to define that because we see others, what we're starting to see is other professions trying to kind of reword that, and I don't want to say come into our space, because we certainly can't. Certainly can't prevent people from coming into that space, but we need to look at our attest statute and make sure that that definition is where it needs to be based in on today's industry and what's going on in the profession. So that we don't have an engineer trying to issue an audit report on financial statements.
Do you have some particular concerns with the current attestation language?
The AICPA does.
So they have a project underway.
Yeah, and they've rewritten that statute, and they did want us to put it through legislature this year, but I feel like we need to sit down with, I mean, as a board, we discussed we would rather sit down with the State Board of Accountancy, make sure that,
Do you want to walk us through what they're proposing?
I can.
Educate us?
Can I educate you next meeting?
Yes.
We'll put that on the agenda.
I think so.
That would be very helpful.
And then I can distribute that language and everything out to you.
Yeah. So why don't we make that?
Put down the agenda item.
Okay. We'll do that. Just for your information, I received a call from a guy from the AICPA. Nope. Can't remember his name right now, but it wasn't that. Anyhow, he said he wanted to come out and visit with the board, and tentatively looking at September. I told him we didn't want to do tax season, and probably the summer months wouldn't be best because of vacation. So he's kind of looking about September, but he did mention the attest function, and I sent him off the statute, and he said he'd look at it and see if we are consistent with that. I haven't heard back from him yet on that point either, so he might provide some additional information.
Yeah, I am aware of that. So.
Yeah, I've got it in my notes somewhere, but I can't remember it right offhand. So, anyhow, he will likely be coming out in the fall sometime, and we'll schedule that. So, and I said, we'd be glad to visit with you. He says, we're going great. Our schools are number one in the country, and so we're doing just fine, but we'll be glad to meet with him, so...
Yeah, and I think, you know, let's not really kid about those results. Those results are outstanding.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the job? Probably not the licensing board. We don't want to take credit for it, but someone should make the public aware of how well the students are doing. Is that something the association would do to put this address?
Yeah, I mean, we do in our publications. I guess we ought to do some public outreach on that.
I think it'd be wise. I mean, it's just one of these things. You know, if nothing else, the governor is constantly, you know, touting how successful Utah is. This is just another one of another success story for the state, that we're number one in percent graduating and number one in the highest score.
Oh, it's right out of the book.
53 jurisdictions.
Yeah.
And by quite a wide margin, too.
Quite a wide margin,
I
think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was kind of perusing this that you gave me, and I thought we could do it.
I think it'd be something that's worthwhile. I mean, let's give
applaud our schools and our students.
Exactly. It's not.
We have some really fine educational institutions.
Yeah. Yes, and that's the way I'd frame it, is the fact that, you know, it's certainly not the result of this board or the licensing or anything else, but the fact we have wonderful students and wonderful schools to train them.
Yeah. Yeah,
we posted it on the homepage of our internet site.
Well, that should do it. The Wall Street Journal and the New York Times will be jumping on that.
That does get a lot of hits, but yeah. we did put it on the first page before you even go to the professions.
That would be with the radios and the newspapers.
I think Donald Trump mentioned that in Iowa, in fact, that they need to work on that.
Well,
what did he call us?
Pardon me?
We're doing if we can reward that into our...
But I think the governor would be very... This is another, you know, success story. David Buehler is another one. who'd be very interested in that. It really falls right into his bailiwick.
Yeah.
With higher education. So
yeah.
It's a wonderful story, and you know, there's no reason keeping it a secret, or I'm sure Doppel's not keeping it in secret, but it may not be getting all the exposure it deserves.
We do a report regularly to the governor's office, and we've included that when it comes out, number one, a few times. So I'm sure there are... I don't know how much that gets read on those reports, because they get reports from every agency, but we've included it in our reports.
Well, I might be seeing him on Saturday. It depends if he shows up at the meeting on Saturday, and if he does, I'll make sure he's aware of it.
So. Okay.
So. Any other new business?
Just a question with this rule that is going to be taking effect, and I think that the UACPA is going to be helping us to ensure that we have an hour kind of online. Where are we at? What's the status? Because, you know, obviously we're just starting a new renewal period. We're a month into
that,
and they're going to be looking for that as this is, you know, becomes knowledge for them. And I don't want it to be a last minute kind of thing that everybody's scrambling. So that's, I guess, what's the status?
Now that we know that this is going, that'll be this year. I mean, we'll have something for sure by the end of the year, but my hope would be in the next 3 or 4 months. What we're talking about doing is doing a webinar so they can download it, so that they can download it from our site online. My question for you would be, I mean, I guess I can pull the most recent set of the rules and regs, but could you email me or let me know some of the hard points we need to hit, like what you're seeing?
The issues?
Yeah, the issues, just so that we can make sure that we cover those. If you could send that over to me, then we can make sure we get that in the in that 15-minute lecture.
Okay.
And then if it's a, they will have to be able to answer some questions based upon having listened to the material in order to get their certificate. I'm assuming that that will all be kind of incorporated.
Yeah, I think we want a competency basis.
I would think so. Rather than I just put it on my background noise for a while, and, and at the end I click a button and I did it.
Yeah. I think online stuff has to be competency based anyway.
I do too.
That's the requirement. It has to be.
So let's ensure that that happens.
Mm-hmm. So now that we know that February 11th, we can take that back to my office and say, okay.
Yeah, we'll post it on the new rules on our internet site once it becomes effective. But
well, and I know we'll have to do some marketing, because again, it'll
people aren't going to know about it.
They're not going to know about it, and I think we have just over 50% of CPAs in the state that are members. So,
Well, not only is it the Utah, but you know, a lot of now they've got 3 hours additionally of ethics, and that may be off the radar as well. So the sooner we let people know, the better we will be as soon as that does happen, so we're not scrambling.
So how do we advertise that, Dan? Things like that in the past?
We'll have to include that on our renewal. Well, not the renewal. We asked for the CE report, which is due December 31st of odd number years.
Yeah.
We just did it.
Well,
it's for that period, but it's due January 31st of even number years for the prior 2 year period. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, when we send that notice out that they got to send that in, we should include it on there that you need to have 3 hours of ethics, 1 hour of laws and rules, and
that'll be details.
That'll be late. We'll update our forms so that that they're aware of that when they sign off on that form.
In 2017.
Yes.
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 But I'm thinking, what are we going to do now? So we can work on it the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Certainly, if we send some kind of mailing out to all 5,000 CPAs dealing with SARS-21, we could put it in there. But
mailing is a cost item. We could do an email, and for most part, CPAs are probably the top of the line in terms of having an email address and all of that. So we can do that with very, very minimal costs.
Yeah.
And
it might be good to send that a broadcast.
Yeah, I agree.
So
otherwise, people would just.
But it'll probably go immediately into their spam filter.
Well, but the point is when they come up to the end of their 2 years and they're scrambling, and they say, "Why weren't we told about this?"
Although we have changed to sending pre-renewal notices by email of your renewal is coming up before we send out the hard copy so we can save a little bit of money on mailing, and a lot of them have picked it right up then, so
right.
A lot of them are getting it. So
yeah, the more we can do with email, first of all, it's faster, people are used to it, and it's much, you know, much more economical than snail mail.
I would try some tweaks. A lot of emails actually becoming one of those less effective methods of communication.
Depends on the generation,
so
doesn't
much.
It?
Mm-hmm.
But I would look into tweets and some of the other social media avenues, because if it ends up at the bottom of my inbox, yeah, I got it. I might open it really fast and send it on its merry way to better places. But there might be some, I don't know, if there's public service announcement grants that you can get to have. There's all sorts of ways you can do things, but email's not always good.
You know, part of the belief with my email, so I don't, a lot of people don't know. So they're okay with the email, but if it doesn't have a subject line that I feel is going to have to grab my attention, because I get things from my bank all the time, I get things from the power company, and if it's just, I think it's just an ad, I just kind of flop. But if you have, you can send out emails that say, please be aware, CE credit change or whatever, in order to get your license, you know, or something grabs their attention,
or
something like that, they'll open that more.
And I recommend that to people, because sometimes they're going to send me something, I know it's going to go to the spam file, and because they're not on my address list, I have my spam is, the filter is set to exclusive. You're not on my address list, you go to spam.
And so what
I do, I read to all the rejects every day, and look for things in the address line. And if it's just something in there, it can grab my attention.
The other thing with social media, it just seems like it's only effective if it's like if you're part of an organization. So if you're part of the UACPA and you're on their Facebook site all the time, and they do put up with something, you will get that on your Facebook, and that's great. But then again, now you're including the people
that aren't members.
Who wouldn't have known anyway, but they'll probably know anyway if they're part of that.
Yeah, it's very. We're getting in a situation now where things are becoming very generational. And, I wear a watch, which some people.
Oh, we must all be from the same generation.
I'm sorry, guys.
Instead of saying, what time is it?
Yeah, we're ancient. No, just look at your cell phones.
You said,
So, one of those things. Anything else? But, yeah, thank you for that comment.
Well,
I think it's worthwhile.
I have a question, because Dan mentioned that he was going to post using rules when they become effective. So when do you anticipate that coming?
What day of the week is?
The 11th.
The 11th.
Which is the Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah, that's
right. We are
way past February, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are, when there's no comments or anything like that, we are generally within a day or two after that when we actually make it effective. So I anticipate mid-February it's going to be effective.
Like maybe the 15th or something.
Yeah.
So my intent would be, even on our sites and that, we would be sending those blasts out to our members on social media.
We have a President's Day holiday on the 15th.
We do. Yeah.
Okay, it won't be the 15th.
15th.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can effectively reach out to a lot of our members. It's that non-member pool that we worry, we worry about too, but what do you do?
But if it's on the Doppel website,
It's
up to the licensee to be responsible to keep track of what's going on. It's like with driver's license, who knows what changes, but we're all responsible for knowing
that. Again, I do like the idea that you just said, Dan, we have that email addresses probably for almost all of our licensees. We put something, and then these other locations.
Yeah.
I don't know how else from a message perspective, because sometimes you have to go looking for certain things. That's our responsibility.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe whoever does Utah.gov, because I'm more prone to go to Utah.gov than I am to Doppel.Utah.gov, and maybe you get some of those more basic domains that can do an alert.
Well, and the other thing is, as long as, you know, I don't know how extensive our database of the email addresses are, but certainly that, if we can use that.
CPAs is the best. And other professions are way across the board.
Yeah. My advice to the company, to your point, was that, you know, some of the ideas that we talk about in staff meetings that sound okay in staff meetings sound really bad in press conferences. Mm-hmm. And saying that, you know, it was there on the website, why didn't you check it, kind of rings hollow when something comes up. So the more proactive we can be to get a message out to them, especially if we have web email blast, we could do.
Is that something that we could do, even that you could? I bought a list back in September, but is that something we could do, even if we could? You provide us with a list that we could even reach out to the other CPAs to get this out?
Is there a proprietary? We have a limitation.
Yeah, email addresses are. I think they're in the
private data.
The private data, but we can release addresses for continuing education purposes.
And
we can't do it for marketing purposes. So people want CPA lists so they can sell them products all the time, and we decline those all the time. But if there's a request and they verify it will be only used for offering CPE, or
which is what we've done,
then we can do that. So we can provide the list for that purposes, and that's I'm sure how you got the list for your mailing.
It is. It's every time I do a conference, I'll sometimes buy a list. So I guess I could buy a list and say it's for this ethics offering, but the only challenge is I don't have that class put together yet. In the past, I always attached the brochure that we're sending out.
Yeah.
Guess you better get going.
Member day off.
Sorry.
Just one more thing.
Well, President's Day is coming up soon, so yeah.
Because I know what I'm doing that day.
All right. Thank you for that.
Anything else?
Let me just mention for the next couple meetings, we try not to have meetings in March and April. We were scheduled for a laws and rules training, department laws and rules training for the board in April. We're going to try to get that moved to May rather than have a meeting in April. So, but we'll try to, unless there is a case that we need to review, we'll try to defer everything so we don't have those two meetings. So just a heads up well in advance that we
good.
Probably won't have those
that.
Meetings unless an applicant is needs something reviewed. Or a case.
Do some of this other work. Looks like the next meeting will be quite busy.
Yeah, so it may. What we'll tentatively shoot for.
Okay, very good. Okay. It is now 2:23 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned.